Welcome to the Going Merry Podcast, the number one One Piece rewatch podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am your host. And as always, I have my two co-hosts with me, Amanda and Whitney. Amanda, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Better than,
Yep. Yes, better
That's
than last week.
good. Glad to hear it. Whitney, how's it going?
It's going all right. I'm here with Gusto.
Hanging with some gusto. We're gonna podcast the shit out of this.
I missed like half of that because my internet crapped out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said we're gonna podcast the shit out of this.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So this week on One Piece, we watched episodes 247 to 251. Whitney, let's start with you. What'd you think of these episodes?
I enjoy them a lot because not that I didn't want to spend time with the crew, but we got a lot of Franky, which I found his story very, very interesting. And we were introduced to Tom. And he turned out to be pretty cool. I liked him a lot. But yeah, I don't know. We got a lot of explanation here. So I really enjoyed all that.
Okay. Amanda, how about you?
Yeah, about the same. I'm glad that we got more backstory on Frankie because I know like the very first time that we met him, I was like not super into him, but I liked seeing that whole development with him and Tom and Iceberg.
Kind of learn
So.
what makes Frankie tick a little bit, slightly.
Yeah, I'm enjoying him now.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think I agree with both of you. I really enjoyed these episodes overall. I love Tom and I love this whole flashback. I think it's a pretty interesting story. I was kind of surprised to myself though, because like sitting here watching everything, I didn't take as many notes as I figured I would have. Like I was just enjoying the episodes and I didn't like outside of it, I was like,
I took a lot of notes at the end of
did
the
you?
last episode.
Oh
I
yeah.
was the opposite. I didn't take many at the end, which is
Did you?
interesting.
Okay. See, so that means we're gonna all balance out. It
Yeah.
works. So y'all are gonna carry this show.
Well, no
Right.
promises.
We'll
Meh.
get there.
Yeah.
We'll see. So jumping into 247. Frankie reinforces to Usopp that the Mary is too damaged to make any sort of successful voyage. Regardless, Usopp refuses to listen to anyone's assessment. Frankie begins tearing the Mary apart until Usopp steps in. He hurls Usopp into the water and forces him to look at the bottom of the Mary for himself. Usopp reveals to Frankie that he had already known that the Mary had had her last voyage, but he refused to accept it. While the two continue to argue, CP9 barges in. So, did it surprise you at all that Usopp already knew what was going on and he just blew everything up anyway?
No.
No.
A little. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I I just thought he suppose. was. Sorry, you go ahead. I mean, I don't know where I was going with that. I guess I just thought he was totally in denial. I don't know. I didn't Yeah. really pick up that he knew.
Okay. I will, Whitney, why don't you go first? What did you think of it, of this episode overall?
Did you say me?
Yeah.
My internet is about to give out, I'm telling you. So I don't know. I agree. I felt like Usopp was really in denial, but I thought it was more of like a willful, like, I'm not gonna admit it kind of thing. So I wasn't super surprised. I really didn't call Frankie trying to destroy the ship. Like I thought the weather was gonna get it, which it still might because it's not totally dismantled, but I didn't expect him to do that, I guess. But even at the beginning, when he's just like, when Usopp is just taking care of the ship, that's like the most normal I've seen him act in a really long time. Like he's
Usopp?
just doing his thing. Yeah.
Oh,
He
okay.
wasn't like being crazy until later on. And then he got really upset, you know.
That's fair.
I really liked when I'm never going to remember the names, but one of the square haired girls is pinching Usopp, and he says, "Don't pinch me, Squarehead." That just made me giggle. Let's see. Okay, so the callback to the mystery person that was fixing the ship.
I totally forgot about
Did, yeah, so did I. And it came back and I was like,
that.
oh yeah, but listen, what was this explanation? Like, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, who I thought it was going to be, but it sure wasn't this. Like, this is so out of left field. I'm like, what? But I guess it kind of makes sense a little bit to like give us some emotional ties to the ship, like even more. Like it's going to help Usopp get rid of the ship because he's going to understand that the ship has told him, I know that you care about me. It's okay. You know what I mean? So I think it's eventually going to help Usopp come to terms, I hope, because it's almost like the ship is speaking to him. But super relatable moment of the episode is the girls that were crying during the whole story. And then she says, I'll never understand why men are so stupid.
I wrote that one down.
When I heard
They're such
it
idiots.
too, they're such idiots. This is a good one.
when I heard that one, I was like, oh, Whitney and Amanda are gonna love
You know
that
it.
Yep.
one. Amanda, what about you?
Yeah, I also did not expect it to be a personification of the ship that fixed it. And again, like I just said, I forgot that that happened. I'm glad that they, like when he remembers that happening, I'm glad that they showed that clip because that helped me. Like I was like, oh yeah, we never found out who did that. I'm sure that we wondered at that point, but then just kind of never found out and never really brought it up again. And I just looked that up because I forget, I didn't look it up earlier, but the Klabautermann, it's a real, not real, but it's a real legend. It's like a
Oh, cool.
it's based on a mythical water sprite that assists sailors and fishermen on the Baltic and the North Sea.
A sprite, like a
Yeah.
Coca-Cola product?
No, it's like a fairy. Sprites
Oh,
are like
okay. Oh
little
my God.
beings, mystical
Come on
beings.
now. Winnie's so fucking sick of me.
Like Sprite from Eternals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
See,
that's okay. So it's not as left field as I thought. It makes
it
that
at
makes a
least
lot of
is like
sense.
a thing that
Yeah.
exists in
I like that.
sea lore.
Yeah.
Now I kind of
I
want to
like that.
watch Eternals again to see if anyone ever calls Sprite a Klabautermann.
I don't think so.
No, you don't think so? Okay.
I don't think that happens.
so.
She probably would have killed him.
Yeah, very true. She would have
So
throat
salty,
punched him.
that
What'd you
one.
call me?
Yeah. I'm not a little girl.
Listen, I'd be salty too if I was trapped
I
inside of a young
know.
child's body for
That
my
is
entire
unfortunate.
immortal life. Yeah, it sucks.
That's fair. Yeah, I remember both. Well, I don't remember exactly who asked, but it was either one or both of you asked if we knew who fixed, or if we knew the person that fixed the ship. And I told you yes, and I wasn't wrong because you did know who the Mary was. So, yeah, I answered correctly. What are you looking at me like that for, Whit?
It's just my face. It's adoration. Not you,
Okay,
Derek.
I'll keep that in
Okay.
mind. Yeah, I did really like this episode. Again, I just didn't have a lot of notes on it, but watching Usopp realize everything that was happening and him, like Franky essentially forcing him to confront the situation instead of, because it almost feels like and I think he basically has been, he's been running from the realization that the Mary is done at this point. So like it, at now he's being forced to face this decision, and also the fact that he left the crew for a reason where he knew he was in the wrong. And I think going back and like watching that scene, well, and all of the scenes with between Luffy and Usopp, like it sheds a different light on him, thinking about, yeah, he knows this whole time here that everything Luffy is saying is true, that the assessment's true, and it's done, but yet he's just, and you know, he just doesn't want to admit it to himself. He just wants to keep going and is hoping that if he ignores the fact, then it is not part of reality. So yeah, it was definitely an interesting episode overall, for sure. So I guess we can jump into 248. With Franky receiving so much information at once, he is in shock while Lucci demands that he hands over the blueprints. A flashback from 22 years prior begins, and we finally get to see Tom and his workers. Tom is taken in front of officials from the world government and charged for building the ship that belonged to Gold Roger, the Oro Jackson. At the trial, he reveals his plans to build the sea train and is given probation time to work on it. After 10 years, Tom, Iceberg, and Cutty Flam finally finish the sea train. Amanda, let's start with you.
I was not expecting for that frog to be part of this little gang. I was like, oh my God, it's that frog that they were all like staring at and kept mentioning in the when they got there. And he's got a weird little like G-string on. I don't know what that thing is that he's wearing, like a loincloth or something.
Doesn't he have like a little top knot too
Yeah.
of
Oh,
hair,
does
which
he?
is
That's
funny
cute.
for a frog. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like, Granny's part of the gang too. I don't know exactly what she does, but it seems like she at least kind of takes care of the group of them. So that kind of at least tied everyone together. Makes sense why she seems like she knows a lot more than she should.
I believe that she is Tom's wife. I think so.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Was not expecting Gold Roger to kind of be involved in this in any way, but it sounds like because Tom built his ship, then he kind of just by association gets in trouble for that, which is dumb. Doesn't make sense to me, but oh well. What else? Franky kind of reminded me of Luffy a little bit just because he's rambunctious and loud and doing his own thing.
Hadn't
But
thought
it was
about
nice
that.
that, yeah, Tom, it was nice that Tom took him in. Maybe like a Shanks figure. And yeah, it's kind of nice to see Iceberg too. I didn't have too much of an opinion on him thus far, but I like his long hair.
You like the longer hair better than the short,
Yeah.
well done hair.
Young Iceberg
He's
is kind of
kind
hot, no?
of
Yeah. Kind of
hot.
hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Add it to the list, another hot cartoon.
Check.
Who's gonna play young Iceberg in the live action?
Ooh. That's true. Now I'm wondering. The
I
same, I guess, as regular Iceberg because he looks the same for the most
mean,
part,
I
but.
guess, yeah.
Who'd be a good iceberg?
Oh no, it's a good one. Gotta think on that one.
Yeah.
There's a character that Garrett met that we were talking about over the weekend, and I was like, yeah, I want Adam Sandler to play him in the live action.
Oh
He
God.
goes, fuck, that's so fitting.
I'm curious.
Whitney, what about you? Wait.
Your
Yeah,
turn.
how you doing?
Okay. I'm just like nonchalantly waiting on it to stop skipping. I don't know why this is all of a sudden a problem. I've had the same internet for like 10 years. This makes no sense.
Okay.
I really like this episode because, again, we just saw a lot of backstory. I like Tom a lot. I like his style. I like that he's so easygoing. He laughs a lot. And I was like, what is Tom? And then I was guessing that he was a fish man. And I think that was confirmed in one of the later episodes. So that was cool. We haven't met a lot of fish men outside of Arlong Park. So that was exciting. The frog, I had a note about the frog. I love that little guy. I can't remember his name.
Yokozuna.
Yeah, that's it. I like that Tom tells, and I don't know if it's Frankie or Iceberg that he tells, but he says there's no such thing as a blueprint for a pirate ship, but it's the flag that's the most important. I mean, that wasn't a direct quote, but I just thought that was really interesting. And he built the train that we have, which is super cool. And it works. And he even talks about doing the front crawl with the frog,
Yeah,
which
Frankie
is a
does.
nice tie-in. But I at first, when I saw Frankie, I was like, has he always been a cyborg? But I noticed he doesn't have the
The metal
metal nose
nose.
yet. And I feel like we kind of get an answer to why he's a cyborg now towards the end. It's not implicitly stated, but I think I have a guess as to why he is a cyborg.
I
We'll
think it's
see.
probably a good
Yeah.
guess. Yeah, I love Tom, and like the introduction too, I thought was so badass. Like him just picking this ship up with one hand and hurling it into the air, and then launching three masts just perfectly in place. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, okay, no wonder this guy is like a legendary ship, right? That's cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, you kind of had my thoughts too on what he was saying to Frankie. You know, there's no pirate ship or navy ship. It's it's just a ship, and you should always be proud of your work, regardless of how the new owner uses it. So yeah, I really liked that. But I gotta admit, Frankie brought up some good points here, and even the judge that was sent from the world government said, he's like, look, this is not normally a charge that we would do. We normally would not go after the shipwright that built a ship for a pirate, just by association. The issue is, this isn't just any pirate. This is Gold fucking Roger. And Frankie brings up the fact that Tom built Roger's ship, and it's the only ship that made it all the way around the world, which is really impressive. And I think that by itself says a lot about Tom's abilities as a shipwright, you know. And not only that, we've seen through this episode and in several others, we've seen he's a very high character person as well, which I really like. So yeah, Tom, I love Tom. Okay, I guess we can jump on 249. After year or 4 years after the Puffing Tom's maiden voyage, Tom is confronted by Agent Spondum of CP5 about some blueprints. As the gravel is about to drop for or as the gavel is about to drop for Tom to be cleared of all charges, the government falls under attack by all of Frankie's battleships that he's built. Frankie charges to see who stole his ships. The goons of CP5 abandon the ships and leave them destroyed after injuring Tom. Frankie arrives and looks on in despair, seeing what his precious battleships have done. After all of the work that they have put into the sea train so Tom could go free, his future now lies in question. I really liked the story. Like, we've seen Iceberg through this episode and in the past episode warning Frankie, hey, like, look, I understand this is your hobby, but this is a dangerous hobby, and it's not even something that you would have to use in a malicious way. It's something that someone else can use in a bad way, which falls on you. And whether or not that does is kind of part of it, of this flashback, like Tom is saying, like, it's not on you. You need to be proud of what you're doing, but still, it's absolutely awful what happened. So, but we see this coming around to Frankie that, you know, Iceberg made a lot of good points, and similar to, I think, like Amanda was saying before, I think Frankie was very innocent, and like mentally and like in an ignorance sort of way by refusing to listen to Iceberg or even think about what he was saying. And I think Luffy would be similar to that in that situation, honestly. Like, I don't know that Luffy would take what Iceberg was saying seriously either. So I do like that comparison to Luffy and Franky. But I really felt bad for Franky here. Like, seeing his toys for what they really are for the first time, these weapons that are being used to hurt people. And especially something that is going to come back on him, and even more so Tom. Let's see. And yeah, that's pretty much all I have on it. Amanda, what do you think of this episode?
Oh, this was pretty sad to see, like, the outcome at the end of it. That, like you were saying, all of his toys essentially got used for nefarious purposes from Agent Spamalot, whatever his name is.
It's
But, like, nobody can get his name right in these episodes too, which is kind of funny.
Which it's funny too, because I think Franky calls him Spawn something dumb. Well, if you just take out something, you've got it. It's Spawn dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wondered if he was, because we've got those other three agents that have visited Iceberg in, like, present day. And so that kind of made me think of another, like, this is another set of people that are looking for these blueprints too. So I didn't know if they happened to be connected or not, or I guess just shows this whole time that people are looking for the same thing. And then Tom shows the blueprints to Iceberg and Franky and basically explains everything. Like, you know, we have to keep this under wraps, basically, because it's dangerous. And I feel like then that's circled back to what Iceberg is talking to Robin about later. It's got the same kind of idea with, well, it doesn't matter if you don't have bad intentions for the thing, other people do, so we can't let it out.
Yeah, and Iceberg's already seen that go for, you know, he's already seen it happen firsthand. So
yeah, so that whole thing was too bad. Tom shows them Robin's wanted poster too, and kind of mentions he's concerned about that. I don't know. I don't remember if we went further into why. I don't think that was explained, why Tom knows about her, but
no, he just said there's something else brewing and showed her wanted poster. So
yeah. I think that's all I have on this.
Whitney, how about you?
This pink-haired ninny.
I know.
That shows up. He is just, he's like kind of buggy coated, but in a bad way. Like, he's so much worse than buggy for me, because I actually kind of like him now. But,
buggy?
I really feel for Franky, because at first when he showed up, he was just so goofy, kind of. And I'm like, who is this silly man? But I mean, we see right off the bat, he was abandoned by his parents, which is crazy. And then he's fostered by, like, the coolest guy alive and goes through all of this trauma with his, basically his father figure. It's just really depressing. And you can tell that he really cares about, you know, the blueprint and everything that Tom stood for and wanted them to do. I'm really confused about Robin's wanted poster being shown. And I don't think that was ever elaborated upon here either. So, like, when Amanda was saying that, I was like, yeah, I totally forgot about that, but they didn't say anything about it. So how does she relate to Tom and what they were doing?
I think it goes to what Iceberg and Robin were talking about before. Like, I think that that conversation that Iceberg had, well, Iceberg and Franky had with Tom over Robin's wanted poster, I think is what made Iceberg not like Robin to begin with. Like, you know, not that he'd ever met her, it's just the rumors that were coming with with Robin's arrival in the eyes of the world, I guess you would say. And the fact that she is someone that could unleash Pluton if she wanted to, 'cause she's the only person that can figure out its whereabouts or how to build it or whatever. She's the only other person in the world that can do it.
Wonder how they figured that out then when she was
Yeah, how do
eight.
they know? How do they know this?
I'm sure we'll maybe
Those
we'll find
are
out.
all great questions.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, but I mean, I guess just Frankie was just doing this craft, building his little battleships out of like a pure innocence and a real like curiosity. And it's really sad to see that I knew something bad was going to happen because it just seemed too perfect that Tom was going to be rewarded for what he did. And I was like, something bad is going to happen. And so it just, I feel like Frankie probably blames himself a lot for everything,
I think you're
which makes
probably
me really
right.
feel for him as a character. I do. I'm liking him more as we watch, for sure.
So, do you think Iceberg still blames Frankie at this point?
Maybe because he tells them that he'd never forgive him, so I don't know. But he did give him the blueprint, apparently. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's another part of it too, is just kind of showing what kind of mindset Frankie was in, and kind of the, again, I don't, I'm not calling Frankie stupid. So I think innocence is more of it than ignorance, but just not understanding the world in some ways, where Tom is showing Iceberg and Frankie these blueprints for this weapon that could destroy the world, apparently. And Frankie's like, fuck yeah, let's build it. Like, he ha is having no second thoughts and not understanding that just because he's building it doesn't mean he has to be the one to use it. And it's kind of the same thing that happened with his battleships, honestly. So, and I
Yeah.
think, I'm part of me wonders if what happened with his battleships probably made Frankie mature up quite a bit. And like, I think it makes him a lot more reliable to have the blueprints in his hands now than it would have been before, if that makes sense. Anything else on this one before we go on to episode 250?
Nope.
Ready.
Alrighty. Tom, Iceberg, and Frankie are brought before the same judge as before. Frankie denies ownership of his battleships, and Tom lays him out and gives him one final lesson in being a shipwright. He pauses a bit and then charges at Spondum with a right hook. Because of the sea train, Tom asks for the pardon to be given to today's events instead of building the Oro Jackson. Spondum and CP5 prepare to take Tom to Annie's lobby when Frankie jumps in and hits Spondum in the face with a rifle butt. The government leaves on the sea train and meets Frankie standing on the tracks in front of them. The puffing Tom plows through and sends Frankie flying. Back in the present day, with Frankie still being alive, his previous charges are now being brought back up, and he will be taken to Enies Lobby himself. Amanda, let's go to you on this one.
I suppose I wasn't really sure what was going to happen with the trial, but it was clever. I mean, I suppose I could tell that Tom was going to somehow sacrifice himself so that the other two didn't get in trouble. But I did not think about using the pardon for that crime instead of the other one. So he still ends up getting taken away to this mystery Enies Lobby place. Somebody says, like, no one who's been there ever comes back or is ever seen again, that kind of thing.
I think it was Kokoro.
Okay. We shall see. I don't know. I'm sure we'll go there at some point. And we'll see what it looks like. I'm assuming it's some kind of prison. Don't know where I couldn't tell if it was part of the like island that they're on now or if it's somewhere like further. I mean, I guess if they're taking the train to it, it's further away. And then so Frankie tries to get in the way of the train, which is not a great idea. He tries to like stop it with a bazooka or something.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite work. I was a little bit worried that it was going to succeed, and I was like, no, you just spent a decade working on this train and like perfecting it. That's really upsetting. But that doesn't work. So I'm assuming that this is why he's now a cyborg, because he got totally just annihilated by that train.
He got railroaded.
Yes. Then we find out, I don't know if we were supposed to have realized this earlier, I didn't, but Spamalot's in charge of this Galilaw operation, it seems like.
CP9, yep. He is head of CP9 now.
He's still an idiot. Like, his snail, the phone call is like, he's dropping shit all over himself, or he's like tripping into stuff. I'm like, my God.
Hasn't changed much.
Yeah. I love that the snail's mouth moves even when stuff is dropping. Like, it's not him talking, but it's still.
I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. This episode and the one before, it was weird because it kept opening on the fight between Lucci and Luffy and Zoro for some reason. Like, it was the exact same scene.
Yeah.
But this one has Zoro running and says, "Damn it, where am I?" Which I loved. Let's see. This is where Tom told Franky to be proud of every ship he creates, which was super nice. I just really, really like their relationship. And Tom has lots of wisdom, I think, that really affected Franky and Iceberg. But yeah, he got train wrecked big time. So I was like, how much, like him being a cyborg, how much of that is cyborg? Because he still bleeds when he's getting beaten up. So I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Is he kind of like Cyborg from the DC universe, where he's like still a lot of human left? I don't know. Because, I mean, otherwise, why would he have blood coming out of his mouth? But then he also says that he wants to build a ship that, you know, does good, or he can be proud of, or whatever. But now I just really hope that he's the one that builds the new ship for the Straw Hats. Fingers crossed. So.
Franky, not Iceberg?
Yes, Franky, sorry.
I'm just saying, you would prefer Franky build it over Iceberg at this point?
Yeah, because I feel like it's a little bit of redemption for him, for his own well-being, his own mental health, because he thinks that the things that he built were, you know, agents of destruction, and he's just been living this crazy life ever since and not doing what he knows how to do. But yeah, I didn't realize that Spondom was going to be the leader either. So that was a big reveal for me. And I thought it was interesting when they revealed his face at the end, and he's got these like straps going across his face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of you have ever seen anything about wrestling from back in the day, but he looks just like Mick Foley when Mick Foley was in character as this person named Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any wrestling fans out there, Mick Foley has got to be one of the nicest human beings on the planet.
I've heard he's super nice.
He is super nice. And I haven't met him personally, but he goes to a lot of cons. He was at the Columbus con that Amanda and I were at.
Oh, yeah.
And my best friend in the world met him on the street somewhere, and he gave her a huge bear hug. And it is the sweetest picture I've ever seen in my life. It is like the most loving, like he's so into it. Not in a creepy way. He's just like, oh, you know, because it's just adorable. But yeah, he's apparently super nice. I watched a match when I was first dating my husband, because he was really into wrestling, where he gets knocked off of a cage that was on the ring, which is super high in the air, and he gets knocked down twice by the Undertaker. A lot of people know who the Undertaker is, but his teeth get knocked out for real, and it goes up in his mouth and out his nose, and his tooth is hanging in his mustache. And it's on video. No joke. You guys look it up on YouTube. It is wild.
That sounds really uncomfortable.
It does.
Yeah. This man's poor body has been through so much, but I swear he looks just like him. If you Google Mankind wrestling, he looks just like him.
He does. I I haven't watched wrestling for a long time. I watched it in like the early 2000s, and
Yeah.
late 90s. So like right there where Mankind was. So I do remember him for sure.
Very 90s, very, very 90s. He had a lot of different characters, but that was one of the most famous ones.
Yeah, like Frankie's hit with the rifle butt obviously did a little bit of damage to Spawnum since he has to wear that mask now to keep his face in shape, or I guess it could just be to hide the scars from it, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. He's very jokery.
He
Like
is.
Heath Ledger jokery, which is something because it was pre Heath Ledger. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, okay. I was thinking this it might have come out in that area, but no, I think this would have been a little bit before. This would have been like 05, I guess. I think we figured that out like last month or something when Water 7 started. So yeah, it would have been like 05, 06. So yeah, before Heath Ledger. Let's see. Yeah, I loved the scene with Tom, and as far as like being in front of the judge and everything like that, and him kind of just making the stand and explaining to Frankie what's going on, and especially making sure that Frankie understands being a shipwright is being an artist, and you have to be proud of your work because it's very possible that nobody else is, and you get looked down upon and criticized for your work. But, and so that may be the case, but you as the creator should never look down on your own work. You should see it for what it is. And that's a masterpiece, regardless of if you did it right or not. You know, you should be proud of the things that you do. So I really liked that message by Tom. And then yeah, seeing Frankie get ran over by the train there for a second, because like the way they show it, it's like he grabs the front of the train and they show his foot like slipping, and so you're almost there for a second like, is he gonna do it, is he gonna stop it, and then he's just launched in midair, and then you know the train's still moving like nothing. So it kind of makes you think for a second that he almost might do it, which I would have been shocked if he could have. But yeah, I think you're both onto something, that I think this is the major reason why Frankie is a cyborg now. Any final thoughts on Tom or Spondum before we get back to present day? No.
No.
Okay. The citizens of Water 7 panic as Iceberg's location can or Iceberg's house continues to burn. Chopper bursts from the burning building, carrying Iceberg, Polly, and one of Zoro's swords. Back at Frankie's, CP9 captures Usopp as well and sends the Going Merry sailing out to the sea to fight Aqua Laguna alone. Iceberg talks to Nami outside about Nico Robin. A flashback begins, going back to the conversation between Iceberg and Robin. He mentions O'Hara and sends Robin into a rage. She reveals what is actually going on with her and CP9. Robin is to pin Iceberg's murder on the Straw Hats and also turn herself in to the world government. If she refuses, a buster call will be used on the Straw Hats. Five vice admirals and 10 battleships to a single location to unleash hell. While CP9 does not have the authority to issue a buster call, Admiral Aokiji has temporarily given them permission to use it to make sure the Straw Hats are finished. As long as Robin complies, the rest of the Straw Hats will be allowed to leave the island safely. Nami decides it's time to rally the troops while Sanji waits at the train station to make his move. We finally have a Sanji sighting after like
I
fucking.
still, I was still at the end of it. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? He's just standing there.
Sitting
Jesus.
there just lighting a cigarette about
I
fucking
really liked that
time.
shot though, that just the little flick. I was like, ooh, that was cool. I
It's
could
like
tell immediately who that was.
a. That's all it takes. It's just hearing a flick of a lighter, and you just know who it is. Whitney, what do you think of 251?
About damn time. I don't have a ton of notes on this. I was just kind of like engrossed. I was just so ready to hear whatever explanation she was going to give. Because I was so hoping it was a good one. First of all, Chopper is a hero. He did a lot of saving here before little guy. I think he pass out eventually? I mean, but he did save some people, so that was great. What is O'Hara? Should I know what this is?
You should not. I mean,
Okay, good.
like
Because I was
you,
like,
they
uh-oh.
said it before, but they didn't say what it was.
Yeah, like
Okay.
I think they've called it the O'Hara incident and the Devils of O'Hara and stuff like that.
So is that the ship thing that we're supposed to think Robin, I'm guessing?
Why are you making a face?
Okay. Because the internet was kind of cutting out, but it was just you going, So I was kind of waiting and trying to hear what you were saying, but it was just, okay. And she just repeats the same thing to Iceberg. I have a wish, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about this weapon. I just want knowledge, yada, yada. But we see now that she, and I feel like she thought that if she can turn herself or if she can pin this on the Straw Hats, they may be able to get away somehow. And that's better than her turning herself over to do every single thing the government wants her to do. So in effect, she's choosing the best option for
Yeah,
the Straw Hats.
she's sacrificing herself for the Straw Hats,
Right.
basically, because
Right.
it's either she turn herself in and do what they're saying, or she doesn't, and the world government calls a muster call on the Straw Hats.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is
So,
worse.
right. Yeah. So, I mean, at least now I kind of have a little bit more peace of mind that I don't think she's a super big piece of shit anymore. I
Yay.
hope. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. And I'm not even going to talk about fucking Sanji. Like, come on, man. Get with the program.
On, guy.
He better have
Come
the
on.
heaviest presence that he's ever had over the next 20 episodes. I'm serious.
I know, he better not look at a woman for the
Yeah,
next
he better not
20
say a damn thing.
episodes.
thing.
Amanda, how about you? What'd you think of this episode?
First of all, first of all, before the first of all, the little mouse was so cute, just like flashing in and out of vision of whoever passed out. But the title, oh my God, I know Garrett has warned us about this before. But the title is The Truth Behind Her Betrayal, Robin's Sorrowful Decision. I was like, okay, well, I
Well,
guess
guess what?
we're
Know
gonna
what's
find
happened to
out.
this fucking episode?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad because
they've got to do something about that. Come on.
I know. And like the way that the skip button to skip intro is, it hits right before the title. So I guess I could try and quickly fast forward through it, but like that was a wild one. I'm so happy the Chopper thought to save the sword because Zoro needs all three. Can't
He
have one
does.
just lost to a stupid fire.
Can't do it too.
The reason I took so many notes, I think, is just because I wanted to get this whole story straight. And so this is the same thing that happened last time when I said I was rewinding a bunch and pausing it and writing everything down and then continuing because it was again like a lot of show specific dialogue that isn't like Buster Call, didn't know what that was, which I mean, they didn't talk about that before, so I wouldn't have known, but just a lot of stuff like that that I wanted to make sure I understood everything. So, they brought up that O'Hara event again, and she said, You don't know anything, you don't know a damn thing about that, you don't know how much the government has ruined my life, so still don't quite know what's going on there. Would like to know. Like I was saying earlier, she says she doesn't care about the weapon, and Iceberg is like, well, just because you don't care doesn't mean everyone else isn't gonna try and use it to their terrible advantage. So yeah, she says that she has to pin the assassination on them and then turn herself in, or else the Buster call. So I guess it is kind of like a lesser of two evils, because I feel like she probably figured out that they would quickly realize that they were not responsible, and I feel like it didn't take them that long to figure that out. But I don't know, maybe that's just because of the way that their heist turned out, and with the fake, and then with her being stuck in the room with Iceberg, that kind of. Did he find out before then? No, I don't remember that the Straw Hats weren't responsible, or was that only when he was in the room with Robin?
I think it was, I guess it would have been in the room with Robin, because CP9 would have come in shortly after that conversation and revealed themselves. So it would have
Yeah,
been
because
pretty close to
were
that moment.
they radioing her when that was all going on? So that was before.
I think they
Was like,
radioed
you
her
guys.
right before, and then the
Yeah.
conversation happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose either way, she must have figured that they'd be able to get out of it. But I am very glad that it wasn't a total like heel turn and she just doesn't give a shit about them. And that part where she's explaining what her wish is, I was very moved. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. She has people that care, that she cares about now. So she, that's kind of a lot, it, that she was saying she was able to avoid capture this entire time because she hasn't had connections to anybody, but this time she does. And so now she's really risking her freedom for it, which is kind of a big deal, I think. So I'm glad that we at least found that out, and that whole story didn't drag on too long. So I don't know what the plan is with her now. It sounded like they were going to go after her, CP9. I don't know if they're also trying to capture her. Are they going to bring her to Annie's Lobby too? Is that why the train? Was that where that was going? I don't know.
Yeah, that's where the
Okay,
train's
they're
going.
waiting for the train. I don't know. Oh, there was a really funny scene right before the very end, but Nami's trying to wake up Chopper and she's just punching him in the
She's
face.
slapping him right in the face,
I'm
like,
like, oh
get
my
up, come
God.
on, let's
Can
go.
you give him a second? Oh my God. It was nice that Nami was happy about the Robin thing too. That was kind of sweet. Sanji, I just still don't know what his plan is. What is his plan? He's just standing there in the dark. Like, why
Hey,
did
I
he
mean,
know that Robin was going to be at the train? Did he know?
I don't
I don't
know.
know. The fuck is he
All I'm
doing there?
saying is y'all were both worried that he was in a brothel or something like that. He was
He
not in
could
a
have been that whole
brothel.
time. There was a long time.
We don't know
There
that
might
he
be like
wasn't.
a station brothel.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
That's awesome.
But he goes bingo right at the end. I'm like, okay, what's the plan,
Yeah,
sir?
what
What's
tailing
that?
them or something. He has to have been.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get an episode where it just shows everything he's been doing.
Ooh, I would like that.
That would too.
Like eating sandwiches and not doing
Yeah, that's all he's been
anything.
doing. He's just sitting around eating sandwiches and going to brothels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. Yeah.
So just a reminder that Garp is a vice admiral. So a Buster call
Oh.
would be five officers of that same rank as him.
So it's
Just
Aokiji and him and who else? Do we know the other
so
ones?
Aokiji is just an admiral. He's not a vice admiral. So
Okay.
he's a step above an admiral. So yeah, so like the authority of the Marines would be Fleet Admiral Sengoku up at the top, which we met him at the beginning of Sky Island. And then next would be Aokiji and the other two admirals. And then the step below that would be Garp and the rest of the
Okay.
vice admirals. So that's kind of, it would be five vice admirals that would be giving the commands in a Buster call. And then we finally get Robin's true feelings here. And we've obviously seen a different Robin this arc, but we find out here that it's just this cold facade that she has been putting on is only to ensure the safety of the crew that she has come to love. And Amanda, you kind of talked about it a little bit here. I wrote her little speech down that she gave Iceberg that I really liked. It was for the past 20 years, I've been able to run away and survive no matter what the circumstances. But that's only because I had nothing to protect, because I was willing to betray others and use them as a shield. But not now. For the first time in all these years, I can't do that. They picked up the life I gave up on, returned the heart that I lost, and continued the dreams that I no longer believed in. Even after all I've done, I found friends that still, or who will still believe in me. I loved that
That's
from,
so nice.
it
After
is.
20 years, that's a lot.
Yeah, and obviously she's finally found somewhere that you can tell she's comfortable and happy. And at this point, she's like, I don't care what happens to me anymore. All I care about is them. And it's hard to think about too, the fact that this dream that she has, just researching history, and it like she even said, it has nothing to do with the weapons. It's just wanting to know what happened during the 100-year void. That's all it is. And yet, this is something that she's being hunted for. And for the first time in 20 years, the government has her because for the first time, she has a weakness in the Straw Hats. So I really liked this from Robin. And it just kind of shows you where her mindset truly is at this point. At least, and then there was one line that I really liked from Nami, where she's like, oh, hey, I've got to go get everyone together. We're gonna it's time to go rescue Robin and beat CP9. And Iceberg said, you lost. And Nami said, what do you mean we lost? We haven't even started fighting yet. And I really like that because, as we know from several arcs now, usually it's the second fight that the Straw Hats win. The first fight usually does not go
Right.
that
That's kind of
well.
badass when you think about it, honestly.
It was a pretty fucking nice line by Nami, and she said it with so much confidence there. I really liked it.
I'm ready for Usopp to join back in too. I don't know what he's going to bring to the table, but
Nothing.
maybe he'll bring Frankie.
Yeah.
Maybe so. Okay. Y'all ready to jump into the extra credit bullshit?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other quotes? Pirate pal.
You guys know I had to choose my main fish, man.
Good old Tom.
Love his
Look at
beard.
that.
Look at that smile, that beard.
You have
He's
to
just a
post him
jolly
on there
man.
with some gusto.
With gusto.
a manifestation.
It is that Frankie and Iceberg, if he wants, builds the Straw Hats their new ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
piece of shit.
It's gotta be Spondom, right?
I put
Yeah, fuck that
spawned him.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Spondom, whatever the hell he's called.
Spam
Spondom.
a lot.
He's like
And
fondant. Fondant.
and
Oh, yeah. Spondom.
then finally, MVPs. I went with either Tom or Robin. Either one, I think, deserved it.
Yeah. I went with Tom also just because he had a longer arc in these five episodes, if
And I
that
think
makes
he
sense. Yeah.
had a huge impact on the things that he did between the sea
Oh,
train and Sleepy Water
huge.
7. Yeah, like
Yeah. The train and Frankie and Iceberg and Gold Roger.
Yep.
Hello. Come on. Yeah, I feel like that's huge.
So, yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm good with Tom.
Okay. We will go with Tom then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if this is
Yeah,
our
my favorite
first.
fish man.
Is he the only nice fish man that we've met?
It depends how you want to classify Hachi.
Yeah. He's more of a follower, though. I
Yeah.
guess he
That's
could be
fair.
nice.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I would
We
definitely.
still haven't met Jinbei.
You still haven't mentioned Jinbei. And yeah.
I think, unless
Tom
Tom
is.
is secretly
That'd
Jinbei.
be
Y'all have
awesome.
two names, Cuddy Flam and Frankie, and Jinbei and Tom.
Jinbei and
Yeah.
Tom.
Cuddy Flam, I'll just call you Frankie. I didn't like that,
That's
by
so
the way.
funny.
I didn't like that because I hate it makes me think of like people who have non-English names or whatever. And they're like, oh, that's hard to pronounce. Can I just call you something else? No, you can't, because that's my name. Get
That's my
over
middle
yourself.
name. I used to lie to people about what my middle name is because I don't know. You know how, like when you were a kid, people are obsessed with like when's your birthday or when's your half birthday and what's your middle name and all this dumb kid shit. People couldn't say it, so I was like, it's
Oh,
Lauren.
I hate that. That is so dumb. I hate that people are that way.
I know.
I had a friend in middle school in sixth grade. He and I had several classes together, and I could not pronounce his name. And it wasn't like I tried, it wasn't like I knew him very long at this point either, which was honestly made it kind of funny because I think I'd only tried to say his name like twice, maybe. And he was like, just call me Tom. Like, we're good. But he's
Well, I mean,
like,
like if they say that,
if
then
they
that's
say it,
cool. But like,
but
yeah.
it was funny because after he told me that, I instantly remembered his actual name and I never had issues pronouncing it again. So I never even called him Tom.
There you go.
Yeah,
You just needed some motivation.
my mom called him Tom because I told her that story and she thought it was fucking hilarious. Let's see, I guess we're good on this episode. Next week, episodes 252 to 256. We are moving right along here through Water 7.
Chugging right along.
I see what you did there. So listeners, thank you so much for listening to us this week. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Going Merry Pod. And you can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with getting out there, you know, just whipping it out. You can also don't give me that look.
Didn't like that.
No. You can also shoot us an email on well, through email. You can reach us at strawhatpod@gmail.com. Winnie, do you want to
Straw what?
say it? All right, everyone. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.